Tell to all my friends that all of my issues, it's a me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia! You guys, you're number one. Woohoo! Are you number one? Ho ho! Wait a second, bro. Here we go. Woohoo!
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of All of My Issues. In this episode, episode 22, we talk about some of the more recent trailers that have just come out. And in addition to that, we talk about the movie Split by M. Night Shyamalan. But before we get into that, let's talk about Geek Fuel. Geek Fuel, if you're anything like us, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. You enjoy geeky things, and one of the best ways to get your monthly geek on is to subscribe to Geek Fuel. Geek Fuel will send you a box monthly filled with comic book, gaming, sci-fi, and pop culture related material. Right now, if you go to our website, allmyissues.com, and click the Geek Fuel link, you can save $3 off of your Geek Fuel subscription. All right, use those $3 to go see the movie Split. All right. Let's get started. Hello, Internet. I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right, and today we are going to just kind of recap some of the current things that are coming out in pop culture. We're going to talk about some movies, TV shows that are coming out, and we're going to end with our spoilerific commentary on Split.
Yes.
So, but first off, I guess we'll start with some movie trailers. First off, I guess we'll talk about the Lego Batman movie. I think it looks good. I love the first Lego movie, and it's made by, I think, most of the same creative team is involved in this making of this film. So, as long as it's somewhere in the neighborhood of the first Lego movie, I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I think Will Arnett's pretty funny as Batman. So
yeah.
I like his take on it. Yeah. Hopefully, they just do that darkness song that he does.
Oh, that's the best.
Darkness, no parents.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite parts. And I still to this day, anytime I mess something up and have to do it like 14 times to try to get it right, I will, as soon as it's successful, I will go first try.
Yeah, exactly. That's yeah. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing that.
Most importantly.
Oh yes.
Harvey Dent. Billy Dee Williams.
Yes. And we all know why that's important, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Because of the bat dance.
That's right.
Because of the bat dance.
Bat dance. Yes. Indeed.
Yeah, so it's nice to see a little callback to 89 Batman.
That's right, because Billy Dee played Harvey Dent in
the original
Tim Burton Batman.
Yep.
So he gets to fulfill that role that he kind of was...
That was stolen by...
Yeah, by Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes.
I mean, I guess there's different creative people involved in that iteration of Batman, but...
Yeah.
Still, yeah. We would have liked to have seen Billy Dee play Two-Face. So, yeah.
All the ladies. I think he could have pulled it off. I mean,
yeah,
Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, flip the coin.
Flip the coin.
Exactly. Right?
Works every time.
I would like to have seen him take on that kind of role, just to see like what he could do with that Billy Dee.
Yeah, because you know? I mean, I'm only familiar with really Billy Dee Williams mostly as Lando Calrissian and then as the sex symbol he was a little bit before that. And what was that movie? Oh. Well, I'll forget it later, but and then the Colt 45 commercial.
Yeah. I think I know the movie you're talking about, and I can't think of it either.
Oh, it was popular.
Because there was that one line, something about how do you like your ribs smoked or something like that, and he sets them on fire.
Oh,
I'm trying to think of the name of that movie.
Action Jackson. Right?
No, that was that's Carl.
That's Carl Weathers.
That's Carl Weathers.
Oh gosh, that is right. That's right.
I was thinking
how did that line go? Do you remember? Do you know what I'm talking about? There's some comment that he makes, and he has like a blowtorch or something, a rocket and launcher or something.
I got the scene in my head, but I can't remember the actual phrase.
Ah, man. I guess
We'll figure it out.
We're going down the rabbit hole.
I was thinking of Lady Sings the Blues with Diana Ross.
Yes, yes.
And then he was also in Mahogany.
Oh, yes.
So those are the movies where I think it kind of
gave
him his...
Yeah, that's, yeah. His
sex symbol stature. And then, of course... Lando Calrissian.
Yep.
Yeah.
Smoothest man in the galaxy.
That's right.
And he was also in The Ladies' Man.
Was he really?
Yeah, with Tim Meadows. Yeah. He was the bartender.
I don't remember.
And the narrator of The Ladies' Man. Well, you know, The Ladies' Man.
The Ladies' Man is one of the best Saturday Night Live sketches.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be bad. Yeah. Tim Meadows. He's a great guy. Oh, great comedian.
Exactly. There's some of those characters that are created in Saturday Night Live that don't transition well to film. Ladies' Man is definitely one of the ones that does make that transition.
I don't know that I ever saw the movie. I just saw all the sketches.
Oh, it is hilarious. Yeah.
Ladies' Man, the movie, is pretty funny.
The one that wasn't so good was Pat.
Yeah,
that didn't make a good transition.
Or Superstar.
Oh yeah, jeez.
Yeah, Night at the Roxbury was good though.
Night at the Roxbury.
Which is ironic because the entire skit is just about waving your head to the beat of music.
Yeah.
To Hathaway.
they took that to the extreme though. I mean, they made a whole movie out of that somehow.
They did.
The Blues Brothers. Awesome. I wonder if Blues Brothers came out before.
I don't know the time frame.
I don't either. Now that I think about it.
To be honest, I think that in Chicago I think that those two would go to bars and play as the Blues Brothers, and then they would be a musical guest on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And then they made a movie out of it. That is my theoretical order that they went in, but you know, I was 5, not really paying attention to the order that things took place.
Sure. I like the story you just told us, though.
That was a pretty good story.
Yeah. I'm sticking to it, too.
Sticking to it.
It might be an alternative fact.
That's right.
But I'm sticking to it.
We're sticking to it. Yeah. I think Wayne's World, though, too.
Wayne's World.
That's
Wayne's World. Want to feel old? Yeah. 25th anniversary.
Get out of here. Oh my god, really? 25 years?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I believe I heard that they were doing something, they were showing in theaters or something for the 25th anniversary.
Oh man, that is painful.
That is painful.
25. Yeah, that sounds right. Wow.
Yeah, the hilarious way Aurora, Illinois plans to celebrate Wayne's World's 25th anniversary.
Oh man. Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
There you go.
That's something to look forward to.
Brush the cobwebs off.
Yeah, your mullets and, yeah.
And your Queen albums.
Queen albums and what have you. Man, that's 25 years. I guess that's true, though.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
So Lego Batman.
Yeah, Lego Batman. I love how we just go down the rabbit hole.
Strange path. Yeah.
So I think we're kind of unanimously saying that we're looking forward to the movie and we want to see where they go with it.
Yeah.
How about the second?
Three deuces up.
So also how about next up the Logan trailer number 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the red band version, we hear Patrick Stewart dropped some F-bombs.
Yeah.
That was a little bit shocking. Yeah. I was like, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart swears.
I'm excited about Logan. Yeah. I didn't get any more excited than I was over the first one.
I actually have to say I think I liked the first one a little bit better just because of the inclusion of the Johnny Cash version of
Hurt.
Yeah, just because it just kind of like felt really...
Gritty,
and it just seemed to fit well with the old man Logan story.
Right. I think the second trailer kind of answered a few questions that at least that I have. Well, we know what the little girl
definitely is X-23.
It's X-23.
Yeah. I almost wish they would have kept that more of a secret until, like, make that a movie reveal.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to guess that comic book fans are already on board that it's X-23.
Yeah.
And so non-comic book fans can now be like, oh my gosh, she has claws just like him. What's going on?
It's Baby Wolverine.
Yeah. And at the fact that, you know, Professor Xavier is literally Professor Xavier.
Since he dropped that he was F-bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
90 or whatever.
Yeah. And I just wonder how that kind of works, because I would have thought Logan would have had a little bit more longevity than that, like as far as the aging and everything.
Well, I figure he's been around since, what, the
1800s?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true.
That's 2020 something, right?
Yeah.
Because it takes place in the future a little bit.
Here's what my concern is when Logan comes out. What's going to happen with the rest of the X-Men movies? I mean,
they need to do a hard reboot.
Because is it going to be, because like the last one was basically in the 80s, so if you're trying to catch up with Logan, which is kind of the future, you got to go through the 90s and the 2000s. So it's like,
they do the 90s and just have a really awesome soundtrack.
That's right. A lot of flannel.
Play some Wu-Tang.
Flannel, Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang, there you go.
Maybe some Dre. Some
But you know, if they did do a hard reboot, though, what happens with Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool?
Right, because that's what it's like. How are you going to tie that
well,
in?
Figure he's got a completely different Colossus in there.
That's true. That is
so
true.
I kind of view the Deadpool as being the same but different. And he even jokes about the continuity problems.
Yeah, he does. That is true.
So that's all to be. That's kind of going to be interesting how they're going to continue to do that, if they're going to try to connect them. Because technically, wasn't the reboot was like Days Future Past was the kind of the X-Men reboot?
That was more like
That was a retcon.
Let's fix everything.
That was a
everything that we did horribly wrong.
A 2-hour cinematic middle finger to X-Men 3, The Last Stand.
Because, that one was so...
It was so bad.
Such a mess.
Because I remember, like, watching the trailer for that, and, like, they showed the Sentinel head, and I was like, oh, we get to fight Sentinels!
It was like, no, not really.
Like,
no.
Everyone, what?
I just remember X2 ending, and you've got the Phoenix Force up underneath the water, and I was just like, oh, yeah.
Here we go.
We're doing this.
It was like seeing Thanos at the end of Avengers.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's.
And then it would be like Infinity War comes out, and Thanos is...
Oh, man, did we just put that in the universe?
Played by Paul Lynn.
Yeah.
I don't know where I pulled Paul in from. I'm sorry. I was just trying to think of the least Thanos person I could think of.
Yeah,
he's been dead for years.
It kind of, they could CGI him, I guess. Yeah. But man, that's
Here we'll put it with someone who's still alive. Andy Dick.
Andy Dick.
That would be hilarious.
You know what though? In a way, like if they did a parody version of it, I mean, still, I would still want the real Infinity War too. But if they did a parody one with Andy Dick. I'd kind of.
I would watch it. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I'd be like, "Hey, Andy Dick."
Like if they did not another X-Men movie.
Yes. Yeah. That would be it right there. Oh man, but yeah, I do wonder where they're gonna go forward with the. Because I mean, they have to use the Wolverine character.
Well, what year did X-Men come out?
That was 2000 something, right?
I think it was. Barely 2000, right?
Yeah, I think 99, so. Maybe it was 99. I'm trying.
Well, regardless, you're talking between the 80s and 99. McAvoy becomes Patrick Stewart. That's a lot of aging.
Yeah, that is true.
Their timelines are all messed up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, realistically, I feel like you need some sort of. I don't know. I kind of just would like them to retell the old stories with. Modern versions,
and see what they do with,
which they kind of were doing with First Class.
Yeah, they kind of did. Yeah,
but they still. But then they set it in the 60s.
They said it
way too late. They got
well. They said there's just too much of a, I don't know, time frame.
Yeah,
X-Men First Class was done really well.
Yeah, I really like Days of Future Past, too. And I didn't hate Age of Apocalypse, either.
Yeah, right. I still haven't seen it, actually, to be honest with you. Because I heard lukewarm things about it, and I was just like, oh.
It's lukewarm, but again, lowered expectations.
They kind of basically make fun of their own selves, like, they say, you know, the third movie is the best movie out of the three.
Okay, gotcha.
Just a quick reference, X-Men 2000.
Came out 2000.
X2, 2003. X-Men The Last Stand, 2006. So
there we go.
Yeah.
So between 1985 or 3 or whatever it was. Hey, best Easter egg in Days of Future Past? They're at a record store and they pull out a Dazzler album.
Yes. Yeah, I thought that was awesome. Then they, you know, they have those characters. They should just do something with them.
Yeah. I'd like to see a Longshot movie.
I would too. I would.
Mojo. And
throw Dazzler in there.
Mojo.
Yeah, throw Dazzler in there and have like a romantic comedy type. Not comedy maybe, but you know, like.
Oh, you'd get comedy out of that.
Yeah, I guess you could get comedy out of it. Especially if Longshot still has the mullet.
Oh, he's gonna have the mullet.
So they're doing the New Mutants movie.
Oh, are they for sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think they're in the process of casting now and stuff like that.
Interesting.
I would love to see a Mojo tie-in. I love the Mojo World stuff, and that might have just been the fact that I was reading it when I was 12 or whatever. Yeah. But
no, I thought it was
I love the idea of Technovirus and
Yeah.
I liked Cyber and Warlock
And I just really like the character Longshot, too. I think it's such a cool idea of a character.
Just incredible luck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. The hollow bones, so he's light and agile, and it just...
And the ability to throw blades.
An
epic David Bowie mullet.
That is true.
That's
power. Like labyrinth-style David Bowie mullet.
Yes.
Because that's the best David Bowie mullet ever, if you ask me. So now that would be like even if they just had like a TV show, maybe with Longshot and Dazzler.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just throwing it out there.
They don't require a whole lot of special effects.
No. So make it happen.
So Logan.
Yeah, Logan. Back to Logan. Yeah, it looks good.
We're two for two.
Two for two.
Three deuces up?
All right, how about The Mummy trailer with Tom Cruise? What do you guys think about that?
Can I be honest?
You can be honest.
I
am brutally honest.
I'm not really feeling it.
You want the Brandon Fraser Mummy?
I actually enjoyed the Brandon Fraser Mummy. I didn't think it was too campy. I thought at least the first one was kind of like scary enough, but wasn't too light. That's just me.
I like the Brandon Fraser Mummies, honestly, but this one looks like they are trying to make it a little bit darker, maybe. I don't know. I honestly hope because I like the Universal Monsters, so I'm just really hoping that at some point they get one that they just knock out of the park, that they just have a
big
success.
I hope they knock this out of the park, but I'm just going to be honest, putting Tom Cruise in it takes away from the movie for me.
I kind of agree with that.
9 times out of 10 now, Tom Cruise is a distraction to me because it's no longer a character. It's, hey, look, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
So, exceptions, Edge of Tomorrow. But at this point in his career, I just see Tom Cruise an action movie, and it's hard for me to get into it.
Yeah, it's going to be an action movie starring Tom Cruise that happens to have a mummy in it.
Right.
That's kind of what I hope it isn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, Russell Crowe is Dr. Jekyll. I don't know if they actually officially made that official yet, but
that would be interesting.
He's in the trailer.
I didn't realize he was Dr. Jekyll.
Because they want to rebuild this universal thing, and so I think the next one's going to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, assuming the mummy does okay. And then I don't know if they'll go into Frankenstein and Dracula after that or what. But
well, they did do that one Dracula one that I think was
Dracula Untold.
Yeah, and I actually really enjoyed that.
I was lukewarm with
it. Lukewarm with it?
It
wasn't the best Dracula story ever heard or anything. But I thought that the take on it, how they kind of made it to where how he became Dracula, that's what I thought I liked.
Yeah.
Just because, he kind of sacrificed himself to, you know.
But how did he become such a tool after all these years? It's kind of like, he's not really.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. The if he vampirism took him over, I guess.
Something. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
It's hard to make a good vampire movie anymore. I mean, just because they were so saturated for so long.
That is true. Twilight.
Oh, we don't talk about that. No, I talked about it last podcast.
I can't say we don't talk about it. But I think the last, I mean, like, with Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel and everything, those were really cool takes, I think, on vampires. They kind of added their own little, you know, notch into the whole vampire mythos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a demon disease almost.
Yeah. You know, and I kind of like what they did with it.
I kind of liked Dracula 2000.
I like that too, honestly.
Yeah.
I saw that in the theater and I haven't seen it since. So I remember very little except that I don't want
to spoil. There was like a sequel to it too.
Dracula was
Judas, right?
Yes, Dracula was Judas, played by Gerard Butler.
Yeah, which was interesting.
A unique take. Yeah,
yeah. And I kind of like when they try to do things like that.
Yeah. Had vitamin C.
It did have vitamin C in her only starring, role.
What, really?
Yeah.
I have no recollection
of
that whatsoever.
She was in it.
She was in it.
Yep. Because I
think she showed, I think she was like, she showed anything? No, wait a minute. No,
but she got killed though.
Yeah,
pretty sure she did.
Yeah, because he bit her on the ceiling when they were having sex. So.
Oh, that's right. That was.
Really?
Yeah.
There was. Yeah.
How do I not remember any of this?
And Jerry Ryan was in it, and Jennifer Esposito, she was in it.
Gosh, look at you!
Man,
look at the IMDb.
Did you just see this 2000? Movie?
No, I mean, because it was always like I watched. That's one of those movies that if it's on,
don't lie. You had the hots for vitamin C.
I do.
The thing that I didn't understand though is in the sequel, Dracula suddenly became a blonde person.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Yeah, it was just weird.
And then it went somewhere else, and I just stopped at the first.
And vitamin C wasn't in the second sequel.
No.
Sam's out.
I'm out.
No vitamin C.
Deal breaker.
Right. I need my vitamin C.
I do hope they get something that's kind of successful though out of it, because like you know they did the Van Helsing thing with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
And I think the problem with that was just too many different monsters in one movie where they're trying to, you know, you can't do that. You gotta slowly introduce them. You gotta do like the Marvel style of here's one Frankenstein movie, here's a...
Well, the Dracula in that one wasn't really threatening. He was just like over dramatic.
You say that, but you guys love the Monster Squad.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do it that way. Just Van Helsing was a turd.
It had
some nice ideas. Frankenstein, they could have got a better Frankenstein because he was just kind of whiny. It was like Frankenstein's monster. It was like, dude, you don't have to be this whiny. He was whiny to me. And then Dracula himself was like Raw Julia Street Fighter dramatic. He was just like,
whoa, that was a deep cut right there. Raw Julia Street Fighter.
I'm like, dude, what did he be so dramatic for? So that's.
I tell you what though, what I think. Have any of you guys seen Penny Dreadful?
I have not.
I watched a few episodes.
Those are probably some of the better takes on like Frankenstein, I think, and.
Told that I need to watch it and skip the last season.
Yeah.
I was told to skip the last like couple episodes.
Yeah, because unfortunately, the way they ended it, I guess it's not necessarily a cliffhanger, I guess. I haven't watched the last season just because of that reason. Mm. But I guess it ended in such a way to where they didn't want to go any further with the series. And it's kind of some... things haven't been tied up.
But so I guess I didn't watch it because it felt like a ripoff of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, really?
The comic book, so...
Yeah, I mean, I could see why you might think that.
Since
It's really well done, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is definitely like that, but it's so much better than League
of Extraordinary. My wife watched it. She liked it.
Yeah, it's good. Like the Frankenstein
I'm not talking movie necessarily. I'm talking the comic. The comic was good.
A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Yeah, the comic was good.
Yeah.
But to go back to Penny Dreadful, they're actually supposed to be coming out with a comic book adaption that's supposed to finish off the storyline. So that's what kind of is making me want to watch the last season now. But the werewolf that they have in it, that's not really... I mean, I don't think I'm really giving away any spoilers saying that there's a werewolf in it, but you don't really find out who it is until later. But they also have... but you're right. They have a lot of the characters from League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Yeah. But the acting is really good.
Okay.
That's good.
Yes.
So The Mummy.
The Mummy, yes.
Three for three.
We want to be successful.
We want to be successful, but in terms of trailer getting you excited, where are you at? Deuces up, deuces down.
I don't want to say up or down, really. I'm just kind of...
Flat deuce.
Flat deuce. It's a flat deuce.
Yeah, it's a flat deuce.
Yeah.
I'm based on trailer alone, I'm going deuce down.
Deuce down? Yeah. I'm kind of going to try to be optimistic about it, but yeah,
the trailer showed that basically Tom Cruise is unkillable now or something.
Maybe a mummy, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Like he's Which doesn't make any sense, because it's not like, you're not a mummy because you're immortal necessarily. You're a mummy because you've been mummified.
Yeah.
Maybe you come back, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that
does have a lady from Star Trek. As the mummy.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me that. Yeah.
Jayla or something.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested in seeing what they do with it, I guess. But, you know, expectations are low.
Yeah.
I guess is what I should say. And I'll leave it at that. Speaking of low expectations, how about the Chips movie trailer?
I just seen that today, and I like Dex Shepard.
Yeah,
I do like him.
Let's go to Prism. His name I don't remember.
Yeah,
I don't remember the guy's name either.
Tito from Turbo.
Is it? Yeah.
He was Ant-Man in Ant-Man, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Great in Ant-Man.
He was great in Ant-Man. Loved him.
Part of Ant-Man.
Yeah, actually, it was cool.
I don't dislike their performances in the Chips trailer.
Yeah.
It just...
I question the need of making the movie.
Well,
I don't know. Like, and why does it have to be Chips, I guess? That's more where I'm...
I think it fell under the whole Baywatch and...
have you seen the preview for that?
I've seen the preview for Baywatch.
I've seen screenshots of it. I haven't actually watched
it. And Starsky and Hutch.
Actually, the Baywatch trailer was better than I thought it would be. But Starsky and Hutch, that's a good call out for Chips.
But again, though, Dukes of Hazzard. I question the need for a Starsky and
Hutch
well. I mean, they made a Dukes of Hazzard movie
You play on nostalgia as best you can.
Yeah.
21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street.
With that, maybe that's the direction they're trying to go to, where 21 Jump Street was more of a comedy. And this Chips reboot, if you will, definitely looks like they're going the comedic route.
Right. Yeah. Still with Starsky and Hutch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I guess it was. Yeah.
Varying degrees of success with the... why am I defending Chips right now? I don't know. But my hope would be that the really funny stuff is stuff that they can't even show.
Yeah,
because if they're choosing those particular scenes for the green band, where it's a lot of...
This is the funny stuff.
It's a lot of...
Yeah.
Hopefully you're right.
Penis humor.
Yeah. And then, where's Eric Estrada? He needs to make some kind of cameo. I hope, anyways. But I don't know. He may not want to have anything to do with this.
Might not.
No. Yeah.
So...
And I guess I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah.
So...
But based on that trailer alone, where yet?
I gotta be deuces down.
deuces down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Three deuces down based on that trailer.
Yep. Low expectations for that one. All right. So I guess that brings us to the next trailer. which is not, I guess it's not so much of a full trailer. It's more of a, like a teaser.
Okay.
And that's the Ghost in the Shell trailer with Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
What do you guys think about it so far?
It looks interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the effects look good, I think. It's, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot. Like I said, it's just kind of a teaser, but mm-hmm. looks interesting. It's got my piqued my curiosity.
Yeah.
So.
I don't have much to say about it.
Yeah, I don't either, really.
Yeah.
So, all right. So it exists.
It exists.
It's there. So, it's, until we see more.
Yeah.
It's... it's piqued our interest, so it's like Deuces is a turtle head poking out.
There you go. There you go. Oh, okay. So that brings us to the next teaser. I think this is also a teaser. I guess it's, or may, I don't. Maybe it is a full trailer. The Alien Covenant.
Okay.
Trailer teaser. Or trailer.
Overall, I'm on board.
I'm on board.
I'm on board too. I love the whole Alien universe.
It feels like it's going more back to horror roots.
Yes, it does. It does feel that way.
Yeah. More so than Prometheus.
Yeah. And I might be alone in this, but I really enjoyed Prometheus. I really liked
it. Yeah, I did too.
Quite a bit.
I enjoyed Prometheus. That was a movie though that was going to be hard to live up to expectations.
Yeah, that is true. And that is true. But I kind of just like the idea of them showing the
origin.
Space jockey and
yeah.
You know, those characters just kind of enrich the universe that the aliens take place in.
And it taught me one thing: you can run, you don't have to keep running straight.
Yeah.
It was like. You guys can literally run to the side.
You see that all the time in movies.
Maybe step left.
Step left. Yeah.
Right.
I could take 6 steps to the right or 300, like, 1,000 steps straight forward waiting for the giant thing.
Like, you can't outrun it. You can literally just go to the side and let's watch it fall.
Yeah, that is true.
If I learn nothing else, it's don't play with alien snakes.
Yes. That's true.
Yes. Lesson learned.
Which you would think... scientists would figure out, but
yeah,
like don't touch it.
I mean, I don't consider myself a scientist. I wouldn't play with an alien snake.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, if I see an alien snake, I would probably immediately go the opposite.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm not a scientist, but I don't play with non-alien snakes if I just find them in the wild.
That is true. I don't know enough about snakes to know whether or not it is an alien snake.
I would just go full on Marines on a snake, no matter what, if it's alien or not.
This is what I picture Sam walking through the pet store, comes to the reptile section, game over, man!
Game over!
Just pulls out a grenade.
Yeah. Boom! Just in case they were aliens.
Exactly.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
So. But, back to Alien Covenant. Yeah. That, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. All right. And that brings us to the last trailer, I believe, and that's Blade Runner 2049. Or is it 2049? Which do you like better, 2049 or 2049? I'm thinking 2049.
I
it's got a better ring to it.
The 2049.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I'm interested to see what they do with it.
Yeah.
I am too. I just hope Harrison Ford didn't say, hey, I want this character to be dead too, like he did with Star Wars.
Yeah.
It answers kind of a question, I think.
With Harrison Ford's character?
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of raised. Well, or does it?
I don't know, because you're referring to whether or not his character is a replicant, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And the
director's cut strongly implies that he is.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well, and I wonder, you know, what this movie means for that, if it's going to kind of change that, because, I mean, obviously he's aged.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see what they do with that.
I don't know how I feel if he turns out to be a replica. I don't know how I feel.
If he does, I hope he says time to die.
Nah, I think we also all agree that we need to have more of that synth soundtrack
yes
in it, or else it wouldn't be a really good Blade Runner movie. Or it wouldn't be a Blade Runner movie, I should say.
Maybe the Def Punk can do it.
I love whenever people do retro things, like Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Throw in a little synth music.
Exactly. And, you know, honestly, there needs to be a resurgence of synth music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm saying that right now. That out into the universe. I love me some synth.
Give me some Flock of Seagulls.
Know what? I was just about to start singing. Yeah.
Maybe not the hairstyle so much. But the synth,
do it all.
You know what? It wouldn't be right without it. Yeah.
What would you do if you saw someone with a haircut like that? Just, I don't know, shopping.
Be like, and I ran.
Yeah, I'd be like, I don't know how I'd react to that.
Like, it wasn't uncommon to see people with crazy hair in the 80s. And not that you'd see necessarily that. And it was just, that was the everyday thing. But now, 30 years later...
I would say it's pretty uncommon to see anybody with really strange hair.
Yeah, actually. Everybody has short hair.
Yeah, everybody has short hair.
Man buns.
Yeah, man buns. A lot of beards.
A lot of beards
going on. Maybe if they combined the two, like had crazy hair and a beard.
What about crazy beards?
Or crazy
just,
beards.
Just like a mullet on your chin.
There you go.
We ZZ topping it or
I think designs like Starburns.
Ah, got
Starburns
it.
From Community. I like that should become a thing.
Okay.
Although I think about the maintenance that has to occur with the Starburns. I mean that's like a daily commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can't dedicate myself to Starburns. Doing that.
No, I'm not ready for that responsibility.
Yeah, that's too much. That's too heavy. Maybe if they had like a stencil that you could just kind of put on. And just kind of quickly shave out the pattern.
We need to patent that idea. Copyright.
Yeah.
2017.
There you go. So nobody steal that because we just copyrighted
beard stencils.
Beard stencils.
Man. That is...
We're going to start selling those.
We could make tens of cents.
Yes. Beard stencils. I love it. I think... we're going to have to explore that idea. So, Blade Runner. Beard stencil blades, Blade Runner, blades. See where we're going?
It's
a connection, huh?
Yes.
All right. So, I guess that brings us to the small screen.
Okay.
To TV. So, first up, Legion. That looks...
looks promising.
Promising. I totally agree.
It's really hard to talk about it since they've shown us so little.
Right. Exactly. That's, but from what they've shown us, it does look very promising.
And is it this going to be Professor X's son?
I think that is the...
They said he's a mutant, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but specifically Professor X's son, though? Or
I hope the series ends with him traveling back in time to kill Magneto.
That'd be a whole onslaught. No, that's Age of Apocalypse, yeah. Mm. Age of Apocalypse.
I do. It's interesting to me that they would decide to make a whole series off of that character, though, because it seems like that's such a side character.
Yeah.
That's
I think with like shows like Orphan Black,
it's kind of lend itself to that.
It kind of lend itself to that, and I mean,
yeah.
He has all those different personalities, and all those different personalities have different powers.
Yeah.
I mean, he has like tons of them. A legion.
A legion. Yes.
So, he's like Ben 10, but more.
Yeah.
He's like,
which was a good show.
Like Ben 150.
Ben 150.
Ben 10,000. But, I think the way they kind of have it set up is kind of like that. You're kind of trying to figure out, well, which personality is this and which one do you like and which one are you afraid of?
But are they doing that in the show, do you think?
I think so, because I think from what I've been seeing, like, some of the scenes look like he's talking to a different kind of a character, but I'm thinking that's in his mind and that's the person who represents that particular power. So I'm hoping that's what they do when it comes down to this.
I think you might be right about that.
Yeah, reflecting his mutant powers, so...
Mm. I'm just really curious to see what they do with it.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it's such a unique... I mean, I'd almost, like, if someone were to ask me this, like, a year ago, what spinoff X-Men TV show would they have? I would almost say, oh, like, maybe a Nightcrawler or something like that. Yeah, Kitty Pryde, something like that. Legion would have been last on that list, I think, because I would have never, I mean, I wouldn't have been on my radar at all.
Right.
But it's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
So I guess we're all looking forward to that.
I look forward to that, yes.
Three deuces up. Or is it, three deuces up. We haven't really talked about
formalizing that. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if that's a deuce up or a turtle head.
Yeah. We got to really define our rating systems.
Yeah. Right. These rating systems.
Where does the deuce down go?
Is that good or is that bad? Deuces up. I don't know, I guess it depends on how the deuce lays.
Yeah.
Deuces up, deuces down.
Yeah. So I guess the other one...
Great image.
Deuces up.
Deuces down.
Sorry, we're visualizing in a podcast.
I guess that brings us to the next TV show that I'm pretty excited about seeing. Better Call Saul. They're bringing back a character that was pretty famous in Breaking Bad, and we're all talking about Gus Fring.
Yes.
So he was one of my favorite characters. Gustav. That's right. He's one of my favorite characters from Breaking Bad. And
a man provides.
Yes. So it'll be. Exciting to see him.
I forget his first name, but Esposito's his last name. He was just a fantastic.
Oh yeah.
In that role.
So good in that role, yeah.
Never seen him in anything else that I can think of. But fantastic.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't think I have either.
You know what's funny? Was it Hector Salamanca?
Yeah.
I believe he was in Scarface.
Was he in Scarface? You know what else he was in? He was in... he was in Constantine. He played... It's a pretty famous DC character, too.
Superman?
You're right! But the Superman 3 Superman. Let me see here. Look this up. Riveting podcast, as always, as we quickly search for things that we were trying to talk about. Let's see...
We can edit down the amount of time that we're talking.
This is true. Yes, absolutely. We can totally do that. The character.
Man.
We're talking a lot of things that Felix Faust.
Oh, yeah.
That's who he played, Felix Faust.
Oh, you meant the TV show. I thought you meant the movie. I was like...
Oh, yeah. No, the TV show, yeah. Oh. Yeah. And, man, it's still just... So disappointed to see that show get canceled, but
hey, like we said,
yeah, it's good. There might be paving the way for Constantine to make a resurgence.
Let's hope so.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he was Alberto the Shadow in Scarface.
Ah, so he was. That's interesting. Well, okay, I guess that's it for Better Call Saul. We're all looking forward to that. We love that show. Then the next show that we're going to talk about is something that I don't have too much to say about, but it's Taboo. Chris has seen it.
I've seen the first three episodes.
Good stuff.
Great stuff so far.
Okay.
I love Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
And he is...
The Tom Hardiest in
it. Yeah, the Tom Hardiest I've ever seen him.
And, we're not talking like Bane.
No.
All right.
The ball belongs to the people.
Yeah.
No, he's fantastic in it. And it's like a little mini Game of Thrones reunion.
Oh, really?
You've got, the Septon? Oh. I don't know any of these actors. You've got Robb Stark's wife.
Oh, really?
Plays Tom Hardy's sister. And basically, it's I won't give very much away, but it's a gentleman comes back and he's been gone. He disappeared for a while. He comes back for his father's funeral. And his father bought a piece of land in America that is crucial to the East India Company. And it's at the time of the Revolutionary War. And he just kind of goes about his own business and he has his own plans. And I don't know, there might be a supernatural element to it. I don't know, because they talked about his father going crazy before and how he would go and light fires on the beach and talk in some foreign language in the wind. And he was hearing this for the first time. And he's like, I heard him. Like, yeah,
interesting. Yeah.
He's got like tattoos and stuff like that. Yeah. And there's talk of cannibalism and all kinds of weird stuff going on. It's only going to be 8 episodes, so I'm about halfway through. Don't know what's all
is
the
it,
plans.
Is it 8 episodes and done, or is there?
I don't know if there's going to be a second season or not. I don't know. I would assume kind of is. It's like Tom Hardy's baby. It's showing on BBC first.
Okay.
On like a Saturday or something, and then it'll show on Tuesday on FX.
Yeah.
So the version I'm seeing is the BBC version, which has all kinds of F-bombs and not all kinds, but what's not censored by American television tends to be.
Gotcha.
And it's good. It's just.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer of it, and it looked very intriguing. Just like I was like, oh,
he's just
pretty good.
Just badass.
Yeah.
Because there's a guy at work. I mean, he's kind of more like our dad's there or something like that, and he watches it, and he's like, Sam, you got to watch this show, and I'm like, you're watching Taboo? I was like, okay, well, if you're watching it, I mean,
it's gotta be good.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of really good things, and it's a very interesting show, and I look forward to seeing more episodes. The fourth one might be out by now, because I watched the first three all at once.
Gotcha.
And then my friend actually texted me randomly that he moved away to Colorado and I don't talk to him a whole lot. He just texted me and goes, have you been watching Taboo? And I was like, oh yeah. He's like, I didn't even recognize where I knew Tom Hardy from. And I was like, well, you probably didn't recognize him without the mask, thinking he was talking about Bane. And I had no memory whatsoever that he was the villain in Star Trek Nemesis.
Yes, he
was. Oh, was he really?
He was Patrick Stewart.
He was young
Picard clone. Yeah. Yeah, that was his
really?
First start, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, he's lifted.
I thought you were going to go with Mad Max Fury Road.
No, I knew it.
Yeah, because I loved him in Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
That's, man.
But yeah, he is Captain Picard's clone.
Get out
of
here.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And totally just does not look anything like him. Lightweight does, the same face, but it's hard to believe. He looks like 12-year-old. Tom Hardy in that role.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
I mean, he looks like someone that has the same body type as Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, and the Tom Hardy today does not have that body form now. Huh.
So, highest recommendation. All right. For 3 episodes.
Highest deuce available.
Yeah. That's a big old steaming deuce.
Big old steaming. It's a steamer. Yeah, so that's I definitely
for
want
3 episodes again. It could
go really
it
downhill
could go
from there.
Really downhill from there.
Yeah, but it does look good, and it's something I definitely want to watch. Get caught up on that.
Very period PC, and
Yeah. So, I guess, and then also, John Hurt passed away.
Yeah,
we just mentioned that. That's kind of a big one. Known for V for Vendetta,
Alien,
Spaceballs. He was in Spaceballs.
Yeah,
he redid the Alien scene.
He redid the Alien scene.
Oh, that's right. Oh my gosh, that's right.
Not again.
That's right.
Man, I missed a perfect opportunity to say barf whenever he asked if he was in Spaceballs.
Oh, man.
It was barf. Didn't recognize him.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I guess I forgot all about that. That's right. Crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's sad to see him go.
Elephant Man.
Harry Potter.
Ollivander.
I haven't, it's horrible to say, but I've only seen one Harry Potter film. But, yeah.
Have you read the books?
I haven't read the books either, no.
I know. I've only seen the last movie.
You watched Why would you see the last one?
I have no, because you know what? To be honest with you, I have no desire to see Harry Potter. I mean, I like, you know, magic and everything, because you know I like Willow and all that. But I just had no desire to see Harry Potter.
But you see the last one, and those
because you know what? I just wanted to see the fight scene. I didn't want to go through the scary hollows.
So much.
Yeah. And I like the first movie.
The Goblin of Fire.
The first movie is my least favorite of the movies. Really? Probably, maybe the second one. But they're very kid movies. The first two, and the third one, David Yates takes over, and all of a sudden it starts to get dark. And like,
really?
Yeah, and they gradually get more mature, as if a student would get more mature.
Yeah, yeah.
So the last two are pretty dark films.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I just watched the last one, and that was just the fight scene. I just wanted to see what happened. That was
because I watched the first one, and I liked it, and I just kind of held off on it, because the idea for me was like, oh, I'm going to go read the books before I see them. But I've just never gotten around to reading the books.
The books
either.
Are better.
So that's what I've heard. So that's kind of like why I was like, I'll just, but now I'm like, maybe I'll just binge watch all the movies or something.
I mean, the books are better than the movies. There's no getting around that. I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah, I know. Usually when I tell that to people, people are like, what?
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
I just didn't have no desire when it came out. Everyone's like, oh, Harry Potter. I was like, okay.
I thought I knew you. I started reading them. It was probably the fourth book was out. I read the first four books in a week. It was because they're really easy to read. You know, they never get to be very difficult, but they gradually get thicker and more
to them. Yeah.
Yeah, more to them. And
I kind of liked Harry Potter when he was known as Tim Hunter.
Oh, the Books of Magic by Neil Gaiman.
Originally I kind of did have a little bit of a bias for that, but now
I understand. There were some things that were in common with Pet Owls and stuff, but they're very different stories.
Yeah, yeah.
I have never seen a book series like it's that draws on The Hero with 1,000 Faces so much so that I jokingly said something that I can't even talk about here because you don't know, so never mind. But I jokingly said something that, oh, well, in order for this to keep on going, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And it was a joke because I didn't think they'd actually do it, and they did it.
Huh.
Yeah, so I can't, again, I don't want to spoil anything. Yeah,
because I do want to watch it. I do,
but I'm good. I know what happens.
Oh, man. All right, well, that brings, I guess, John Hurt. We're sorry to see you go.
Yeah.
Sam and I don't know anything about your Harry Potter stuff. But
sorry.
Yeah. Wasn't he in the first one? He was the dude that ran the one shop.
Was he?
Yeah, he's in Ollivander's one shop.
Oh,
that was an awesome tribute I saw at the Harry Potter World, whatever thing. I don't know where that is. Universal or whatever.
Universal. Yep.
Yeah. Is that at midnight? Everybody had their wands, at nighttime, really? Everybody had their wands raised up. That was in Diagon Alley.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's sad to see him go.
Yeah. Dealing with a muggle and a squib over here.
You know what?
I'm not sure what that means, but I don't think that's...
I don't think that's very nice.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to... Split. So we are going to talk about...
Really?
Yeah.
Who was he?
Let's find out. Well, we're still going over to John Hurt. He was in Indiana Jones in The Crystal Skull. Oh, he was the guy who went crazy.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't watch that movie. I didn't make it through.
No, I watched it, but I...
He was the scientist. He was the friend of Dr. Jones, and he's the one who discovered the crystal skull in the first place. And he was
riding on the...
Yeah, yeah. I remember now.
I try to forget a lot about
it. I will not hold that against him.
Yeah.
I remember that now. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah.
I mean, I can't... I can't hold that against them either, because I mean, hey, you want to be in a new Indiana Jones movie? Yes, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
Then that's probably before he read the script.
He's like, "Oh, this is what we're doing."
Oh, aliens, really? Wait, wait, isn't this the guy with the whip and the hat and the yes
and the boulder and we're doing aliens?
Yeah, okay. That's aliens. So, all right, I guess should we segue into our discussion about the movie Split?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so let's start talking about some M. Night Shyamalan.
And we should probably say at this point, we're going to go heavy spoiler into Split.
That's absolutely true, yeah.
So when we start talking Split, if you haven't seen it and you're at all interested in seeing it and don't want any of it spoiled, then by all means...
Split? Make like split. A banana. Hey! Oh, see what I did there with the thing?
Oh, cut it out.
I know, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, we went there.
You never go Full House.
Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier.
All right,
and,
so
and in our next review, we're going to talk about Fuller House.
No, we're
and
not.
Our podcast audience just completely disappeared.
All right, so Split.
Split, yes.
Just in general, I enjoyed it a lot.
I did too. I will go as far as to say this too. It's probably the most enjoyable M. Night Shyamalan movie I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
I would say since Unbreakable.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed Signs, though. I did.
Oh, you know what? Signs is good, too. I did enjoy Signs as well.
So?
I might have liked Signs just a little bit more, maybe.
In Split?
I think, maybe.
I don't know. I didn't figure out a hierarchy of where they sit.
Yeah.
But regardless... It's return to form.
It definitely is, yeah.
And so, roughly what the movie is about is three girls, two of them specific friends, one of them barely friend.
Yes, yep. Kind of got
and within the first
party, yeah.
minute of the film, they're kidnapped.
Yep. Okay. Goes right into it pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's... And then... this is all stuff from the trailers too. Is you can clearly tell that you know they're killed by James they're kidnapped by James McAvoy, and he has 23 personalities.
Yeah, 23 personalities, and his performance in it is
it's just
so good.
Yeah,
so good.
He changes characters without saying a word, and you can tell.
Yep.
So it's interesting. Yeah, it's and at one point he's a character, or he's a personality who's pretending to be another personality. To fool his doctor.
Ah.
And you can see he has some of the mannerisms, like the OCD of the, you know, he's straightening things up and he's doing some of those other things, but at the same time, pretending to be another one and talking like the other one, even though he has a completely different voice. It's pretty...
It's an impressive acting job.
Yeah.
I think if they had a lesser actor in that role, it just wouldn't have come across as good. Because I think without him in it,
Yeah,
it's he makes the movie.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, he does, and so he has the three girls kidnapped, and they soon realize that he has the different personalities, and occasionally try to trick one of them because one of them, my favorite, is Hedwig, the 9-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who talks with a lisp, a slight lisp, and says just some great things.
Yeah. What's the thing that he says all the time?
Et cetera.
No. Et cetera. Yeah. Et cetera. And yeah, it's... Yeah. And honestly...
At one point, he's like, can I kiss you?
Yeah. Yep.
And then she's like, okay, or whatever, and he does, and he's like, you might be pregnant now. It's a fantastic performance, but...
Yeah.
The idea is that... There is another personality coming.
Okay.
A 24th personality who no one has ever seen.
But they refer to as...
The Horde, right?
The Beast.
Well, yes, they refer to it as the Beast.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's later.
Yeah.
So they refer to it as the Beast, and when they describe it, he has rhinoceros, or skin thick like a rhinoceros, and a full mane of hair, and extra long fingers, and super strong.
Exactly, and early on in the movie, his doctor kind of, his doctor kind of explains how sometimes these different personalities can actually take on different human traits.
Yes.
So it kind of leads into, like, making you, like basically planting the seed that, well, this other personality did emerge.
Sometimes one personality is diabetic and the other one's not. Or one is allergic to something.
Allergic to beast things. Or the other one's not.
Got it.
And so, you know, early on they plant that seed.
Yeah, that a personality can change your physiology.
Yes.
And so, feel free to.
Because I'm with you guys, the audience. I'm learning about.
Sam is being spoiled right now.
Yeah, I'm being spoiled right now.
Not just because we're telling him this. He's also we're fanning him and feeding him grapes.
That's right. It's Juvius. I just love it.
As this progresses, you know, you kind of find more and more about the different characters.
Yeah, and they separate them out from each other because they different times try to escape or whatever. And so each ends up in their own room, locked up. So
the easy way to transition this, I guess, is you kind of find, like Chris had mentioned, where he is trying, there's one personality that's trying to pretend to be the other personality.
And they use the term that they were going to be sacred food.
Yes. Sacred food for the Beast, essentially, is where they're kind of going to. And, you know, hiding a lot of this stuff from their therapist.
But some of the personalities that aren't really allowed to come out will email the therapist, "I need to see you right away." You know, and then he'll have to go to the therapist and pretend, "I don't know, I was having a bad time," you know, whatever.
He's
great performance there. Yeah. So,
I had no idea how phenomenal an actor James McAvoy was until this. I mean, I always liked him, in the other things I've seen him in, but just to be able to pull off that type of performance, I mean, that's impressive to me. I don't even know how you can really do that. But
so, the idea is that these three girls are untainted by their lives have not, they've been pampered.
Yes.
They're unsullied. They're not, they're, that's why the Beast is coming to feed on them.
Yeah, because one of the things with this character, the multiple personality character, is that he has been damaged.
Yes, he is damaged, and the damage is causing the multiple personalities and whatnot. And so, in flashback form, you see, and you don't know why you're seeing it really, you see that the one of the girls, I don't want to get her name right. What's her name? She's Casey. No, Casey's one of the friends. Anya Taylor-Joy.
Okay.
She is the actress's name. And she does a really good job, too.
Absolutely.
She, in flashback form, you realize that she's been preyed upon by her uncle.
Yes, yeah.
And that her father is dead.
From a heart attack.
And now she lives with her uncle. Oh. Who, you thought at first you were learning it because, I guess, he does really interesting things here. You think you're learning it because they're out hunting and she's learning how to hunt the Beast and things like that.
Yep.
But that's not why you're learning it. You're learning it for other reasons. So eventually it gets to the point where, well, I mean, I guess we'll just skip straight to the Beast comes out.
Yeah, the Beast comes out.
He goes to a train station, lays down some flowers.
Yeah.
Which you find out his dad left him on a train and left him with his abusive mother.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's kind of like almost like a ceremony, if you will.
Yeah, and you can actually see him kind of
morphing. Yeah.
And then you see him running really, really fast.
Yeah.
And, like,
a police dog starts barking, and they're like, "Stop it! It's just an animal." And yep. And he gets back there, and he's physically taller.
Yeah, physically taller, bigger, more muscular.
Stronger. You can see the veins in him.
Wow. Yeah.
And he begins to climb on the wall.
Because of his strength.
Because he can, whatever, is able to feel the cracks in the surface and is able to cross on the wall and on the ceiling, like flat wall.
Wow.
And right at the same time, basically, his psychiatrist had showed up and he had knocked her out. What did he? He drugged her.
He drugged her, yeah.
And so when she woke up, she could barely do anything. And the hypnotherapist in her or whatever, if you say his full name, it causes his actual personality to come out.
Yeah, okay. The original personality.
Yeah. So she writes the original personality's name down. Just says, say his name, whatever, 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 because she can't even talk. He comes in and kills her. Bear hugs her to death.
Wow.
Just at the same time, the abused girl is escaping, and she goes to check on her friend, and she opens the door, and the one friend
has been gutted. Oh.
And
the
implication is partially eaten.
Yeah, by the beast.
By the beast. And she opens the second door.
She sees her friend
who looks just terrified, and then dragged away suddenly.
Yeah.
Mm. And so she starts...
And you quickly learn that she is also being eaten.
Yeah.
And so she begins to try to escape.
Yeah. She says his name real quick.
She does say his name
real quick. She says she sees the paper or whatever, says his name, and he comes out in the original personality and says, "Kill me."
Yeah, because he understands.
He's like, "I feel like I've been losing time."
Yeah.
It's still, whatever, 2014, right? And she's like, "No, it's 2 years later or whatever." And he's like, "There's a shotgun here." Tells her where it's hidden. The shells are in my locker, whatever. So, the beast comes back, of course.
Right. Yeah.
And she begins to run again. She locks herself in this metal barred cage, and the beast actually comes up and begins to bend the bars.
And gradually, in the meantime, though, she has shot him several times.
Yes. And there's a really great scene where he's hanging upside down from the pipes, kind of almost like in Aliens.
Okay.
And he's just like skittering side to side, knocking out light bulbs one at a time, and it's really creepy and really cool cinematography. Yeah, and there's a lot of cool cinematography, cool stair shots and things like that. Yeah. Eventually he gets to the bars. She shot him, and you can see where it's hurt him. He starts bending the bars, and gradually over the course of this, she has been wearing less and less clothes because part of that OCD, anytime the clothes get dirty, he's like, take those off, you know, whatever. And so now he did notice at one point that she wears a lot of layers. Now, why would someone wear a lot of layers? If they have scars they don't want you to see. And he sees that she has the scars on her, and he realizes that she's damaged as well. And he's like, "You're powerful," or whatever.
You've also been damaged. You know what it, you know.
Yeah, and he runs off, basically, right? Yeah.
So he decides not to eat her because she's been damaged like he has.
And then you find out this entire time that they've been kidnapped under the zoo, which is why the Philadelphia Zoo, which is why you've got him saying he's got a long mane and
all these animal traits and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. So,
and then he gets away. He has a really cool scene where he's talking to himself in the mirror amongst multiple personalities, and it's like, "They'll believe in me now."
And everything
like that. And then it cuts to
never have to be afraid again. All that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And then it cuts to a newscast saying, you know, that.
Talking about the
kidnapping. Person, yeah. There's also, we should say, for the female character, there's an implication where she's in the car, and the police officer standing there, and she's like, "Your uncle's here to pick you up," you know, blah 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 blah. And she doesn't say anything. She looks, and it's an implication that maybe now she has the strength to tell the police about her uncle.
It kind of leaves it open, but I feel like that's the intent there.
Yep. And then so it cuts to the them talking about it and how police have nicknamed him the Horde, and you see three people sitting there at the diner counter watching it, and they're like, "The Horde, you know, like that's a
they're giving him a nickname like they did that other guy 15 years ago. The guy in the wheelchair. What was his name? And then it cuts to Bruce Willis sitting at the end, and he's like, Mr. Glass.
Yes. So that's kind of like the twist was.
Yes.
It's so, a sequel.
It is a super, it is a super villain origin story.
And is going to be awesome. Right,
and the next thing, he says he wants to, the next thing he wants to work on is Unbreakable 3.
Yeah.
Or Unbreakable 2, depending on how you work.
Yeah. Okay. I may want to go see this.
Yeah. So yeah.
Now that I've spoiled it all for you,
piqued my interest.
Yeah.
That,
yeah. It's yeah.
But if you get done watching it and you immediately want to go, I want to watch this again because I want to see how it's different, knowing that it's a supervillain.
Yeah. It's a new supervillain.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And
that it's a full hour and a half, hour 45 minutes supervillain origin story, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's done so well.
Okay.
It's done so well. But yeah, it's...
But there was this recognition that started during that scene as they started playing the music from Unbreakable. And I was like, oh, this music is familiar. This music is familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same music whenever they called me Mr. Glass. You know, it's the same dramatic or the whatever scene. The train scene. Not the train scene, where he's in the train station.
Oh, yeah.
But they talk about trains, which is a theme in Unbreakable. The train crash starts and he goes to the train station, you know, and everything.
Yep.
And Philadelphia Zoo, they've presented you with the fact that this is the same world, but you don't realize it until the last frame of the credits.
Exactly, exactly. That the whole time it was a sequel.
Yeah. Nice.
So good.
Yeah, yep. So. And it just, and it does get me excited about his movies again. I mean, honestly, because for, you know... seen a couple of the movies that he came out with after Signs and everything, like The Happening, you know,
Happening.
Those types
not
of
good.
Yeah, just not good, not good. And it just seemed
that's
like
that's a bad movie.
Yeah, it's just a bad movie. And
I'm a little excited because
I gotta say because even going into the movie, I'm like,
we're walking
it looks
in,
good.
We're walking in, and we were talking about Unbreakable,
and I believe
one of us, I don't know if it was you or me, actually said, I really wish they'd make a sequel to Unbreakable.
Yeah, yeah. And like, little did we know,
they call him Mr. Glass.
Yes, yeah, and it's nice to see that it seems like he's gone back to his roots,
right,
in a good way,
mm-hmm.
right.
So. And you know, a lot of people, you know, criticize him for the twist endings or what have you.
Robot Chicken,
among other things. The twist. But I don't really, the way he handled this movie, mm-hmm. I didn't think that anything was too, like the twist wasn't gratuitous or anything like that.
Twist endings work best whenever the movie would work without the twist ending.
Yes.
And then you have the twist ending that makes you want to go back and rewatch it. So, you know, when you've got The Sixth Sense and his stuff, Unbreakable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Signs wasn't much of a twist, but we could talk about that theory.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, let's definitely.
Have you ever heard of the demon theory of Signs?
No.
This completely changes my whole point of view.
Signs actually is a better movie when you don't think that they're aliens.
That they're demons.
That they're demons instead, because it's a... and I read this on a Reddit thread.
Yeah.
But it's... if you take the idea that you're talking about a minister mm-hmm. who's lost his faith
right.
when his wife dies, and his wife has a vision of the future, and they describe the young girl as being, I forget if they call her an angel or angelic, and she's described as all those things, mm-hmm. almost like she's like a holy child who leaves holy water everywhere because she's touched it.
I know, and the aliens.
It would make no sense for aliens to come down and be on the planet that's 3/4 water, if that's their one weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, what else? She has a vision on her deathbed telling Meryl to swing away.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone who sees the alien describes it as something different.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there? They never directly say that they're ships. There's just birds that hit something and drop from the air.
Yeah.
And then when they announce that people in three cities in the Middle East have discovered ways to combat them, well, there's three holy cities in the Middle East,
that's
right?
That's true.
So, it doesn't work necessarily 100%, but it makes the movie a whole lot more interesting.
And I mean, Signs is more, even the, just the name Signs, you more reflect that, like, in, like, religious.
Yeah, more religious
than alien.
Yeah, yeah. You're seeing signs.
Yeah.
I really wish that was the way the movie was supposed to play out instead of the aliens. Because I think that makes the movie so much better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like, and it's, I like signs a better anyways, demon light.
This makes me like the movie even more. And I think maybe that's why I like it a little bit more now than Split, is just thinking of it that way. Hmm. Even if it wasn't intentional.
But other movie, well, I don't want to, if we decide to do a top five later of our favorite twist endings, I don't want to ruin them all. But,
So
Split is a movie that would stand on its own without that ending.
Yes,
that ending takes it from what I would have thought was a great performance, a very good movie, and turned it into, I don't want to call it a great movie, because it's not like it's going to, you know,
win
the Oscar for Best Picture of the Year or something, but... It turned into a really, really good movie.
It did. And not really one twist, but like kind of two.
Yeah.
Really, you know, so.
Yeah. That was if you're expecting an M. Night twist, you might think that it's just, oh my gosh, the Beast is actually able to become the Beast.
Yeah. He stopped because it was the girl who was damaged.
Yeah. And then suddenly there's that unbreakable ending.
That's awesome. Because I loved the movie Unbreakable, too.
I did, too.
I think, because when it came out, too, there weren't really that many great comic book movies.
Right.
So at the time, I thought, oh, this is, like, the best way a comic book movie could be portrayed, in a way.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know...
Well, I think comic book...
Treated in a realistic
fans
way.
Fans...
Yeah.
...really liked Unbreakable because, I mean, it was even framed like comic books, where you would have...
Yeah, yeah.
...people in frames.
And even Mr. Glass's character, you know... had the comic book art. He had the comic book art gallery.
Yeah, and he had the weird hair and everything.
They
fed you everything that you needed to know, that he was the, oh, whenever they portray a comic book villain, everything is slightly askew and their eyes are wide and, you know.
Yep.
And they fed you everything, and I still didn't figure it out until like 10 seconds before they revealed it. And I was like, oh, why didn't I see this coming?
Yeah, I know. That one really got me, too, because I was like, oh, man.
Because the kids always know.
That's right.
But I know people who saw it and they called it, they changed the name to Unwatchable.
Yeah, I know. Because it was slow. Yeah.
I mean, it was a slow movie, and
I think a lot of his movies kind of have that like slow pacing.
Because the slow build.
It does a lot of
character
exposition and character development.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like the good thing about his movies too, though. Really, is that, you know.
Well, most of them.
Well, yeah, most of them.
Half of them. Three of them. Yeah.
Now four. Yeah. Because it was really enjoyable, and
I really hope Unbreakable 3 happens.
I do too. I mean,
or two.
I almost feel like he's got to now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think Mr. Glass will show up if they do an Unbreakable
3? Yes,
super villain team up.
Yeah.
I read somewhere someone called back to the original Unbreakable where they said the hero always has two types of villains. They have the strong villain that they have to fight against, and then they have the intelligent villain, and the intelligent villain's their arch nemesis.
Right.
So I feel like Unbreakable too. Apparently, this character was supposed to be in Unbreakable. He was supposed to be the person he finds in the train scene, but he found when writing the script that. The screenplay that so much of what made that character interesting, you had to show, and the Flash and things, and it was easier to show the other random dude that was kidnapping people because you don't need as much backstory.
Got it.
Yeah. No, I liked it.
Yeah, it was overall really, really, really good.
I'm gonna have to check it out. So you guys. Recommend this movie?
I feel that once you see it, it will be three deuces up.
Three deuces up, indeed. It's, you know, if you liked M. Night Shyamalan's early work...
Four deuces.
Four.
Maybe we keep the deuces up, deuces down.
Deuces up.
For
just trailers.
For this trailer.
And, you know.
But for the actual movies.
Yeah, four deuces.
I would give it four out of five deuces.
I give it 4 out of 5 deuces. Because I did really enjoy it. It's not the perfect movie, you know, but it's good enough. And I hate to say that it might be because my expectations were a little bit low because of the last few M. Night Shyamalan movies I've seen, but it's definitely surprised and it was really, really worthwhile.
I would say it would be 3.5 deuces without that twist ending.
Ending
maybe gave it up to 4.
Yep.
Okay. Alright.
All the twists.
All the twists. It's funny how we have to say his full name. M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, it can't be just M. Night Shyamalan.
We can say Spielberg, we can say Lucas, but...
Yeah.
That's because I'm not 100% sure I'm saying his last name correctly.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want there to be any question.
There's a lot of vowels and letters in there.
I would never be able to spell his name right.
No, never.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I guess that's our episode. Is there anything else we want to talk about that we may have left off? Or I think that's it. We're good. All right. Check us out at allmyissues.com.
On our Facebook at All of My Issues. Twitter at All of My Issues on Twitter.
Email us at allofmyissues@gmail.com.
All right. I think that's it.
All right, see you guys later.
Later.
Bye.